This is Devin.
And this is Elmer.
Welcome to the Forum Journey Podcast.
You are probably always partnering with God in his redemptive work.
I like to think so.
Yeah. No, is there a time that you can just thinking off the top of your head that you saw, you know, love conquering hate or compassion happening over the selfishness of life, peace where there's chaos, justice where there is injustice?
Good job.
Ooh, I said it right this time.
He had a cheat sheet in front of him.
I didn't look at it, but I didn't have my glasses on. My glasses are somewhere. I think they're in my pocket. So
I am really bad coming up with remembering things off the top of my head because it's pretty common to see that.
Yeah.
You know, okay. It's pretty common to see that list you just said. That's,
right.
That's pretty common.
It's happening. It's happening.
And I think the biggest thing that I like to see is when there's acceptance rather than judgment, because I think in general, not pointing fingers, but in general, society will look at people afflicted with drug addiction as, you know, they're the dregs of society or they're society's problems, and they're a person.
Yeah.
They're a person with a heart and soul. They've either made bad decisions, had bad things happen to them, and they've responded, but they're every bit as worthy to God as you and I sitting here.
Yeah,
sure.
So
yeah. We're going to add that to the list. I love it. I mean, acceptance over judgment.
Sure.
Yeah.
Totally.
And not seeing people as a statistic.
Right.
Or writing them off as an addict.
Right.
They are a person.
They are a person. And one of the joys I get from my job is getting to know the person.
Yeah.
Somebody comes in
and you get to hear their story.
Their story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
their story.
So awesome. Yeah.
They come in and they're in a hurting way.
Sure, sure.
Have a rap sheet of all their crimes.
Yeah.
And then over months and months, you talk to them and you hear them, who they are. And I always tell them, what you've done, that's not who you are. That's what you've done.
Right.
In here, that's who you are.
You are.
Right.
Yeah. And that gives me chills. Just to get to know people.
We're getting into it now. I love it.
So let me, this is Devin. Jan sent this after we were chatting last week.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent this to me. I think this is great. Do you remember you rapped me? Oh, yeah. So this is what she sent me. It says, those drug addicts you're judging, I'll get emotional reading it. You're judging are not just some junkie and loser who deserves to die. Oh, dang it. They're actually good people with good hearts who made some bad decisions in life, as we all do. So if you can't help them, don't hurt them. And instead of judging them, pray for them.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Can we just drop the mic and let us leave the room?
That's awesome. We're going to put that on there so you can all see that in print.
Yeah.
In the description.
That is amazing.
There's truth there.
Oh, dude, there is. Because I think sometimes we just look at people and we go, oh, yeah. Yeah, they're whatever, tweaker, junkie, addict.
And part of that's human nature.
Anybody
you meet, you kind of just size up a little bit.
But. Sure, but it's in your experience and in your work and in even just hearing your story that I'm reminded, right? Even in that statement, they are people. Have made some mistakes, as we all have.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they have a good heart, and they are a creation of God. And guess who loves them more than you? Yep. God the Father loves them more than you,
absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
So,
and as much as us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. In the same way, God loves us. God loves us.
Jan, this is more of a when someone stands up in court.
Yes.
Do you get an instant gut? Oh, they're gonna make it, or they're gonna struggle, or that's not one of our questions, but the thought just crossed.
Yeah.
Where's the?
We always know that we need to dampen, but it's human nature. Somebody comes in, we know.
I'm just talking about their attitude. You know, if they come in like. And you just go, oh, man, you're going to get your world rocked.
I mean,
because MRT's coming and you're going to be filleted.
Yeah. So it's funny because we always say we can't do that because we automatically will.
Right.
And we'll think this person isn't going to make it. And they will soar and continue soaring for years after drug court. Mm-hmm. And then there's somebody that we,
they got it.
They got this. They're going to do great.
Yeah.
And boom, they failed over and over and end up maybe getting terminated and going off to prison. You can't tell. You can't tell who. And we say that all the time. We just can't tell.
I'm just curious. I mean, I just didn't know if there was some magic, you know, in Jan's
Are you
mind.
Going with your gut? You're like, yeah, you're.
Yeah, I'm just, I mean, Jan's good at what she does.
The last one where I was proven so wrong.
Which we're excited about? Were we excited?
I'm always excited for a challenge.
You know? Right. There. All right, there we go.
But this person was like, wow, he's going to be one tough cookie to crumble. You know, it's just did great.
Okay.
So good to get to know him, to see who he was as a person, hear his story, see his honesty and his earnest desire for that life and graduate. And
it's good.
Can't tell.
Oh, that's nice. Good. That's good. Hey, in your work, your vocation, what didn't you expect to happen but has?
So I have a couple things for that. I didn't really expect to absolutely see miracles.
Okay.
People,
how did you get this job then? I mean, did you, because you were an insurance agent.
I was an insurance agent and the position was open.
Right.
And I applied for it and I knew the drug court manager at the time.
Okay.
And somebody else with more experience in the court system down in Oregon got that job.
Okay.
She lasted a year. She didn't really like people. You need to love people to be in this position. You gotta love people.
Yeah, hard place.
That is awesome.
It opened up again a year later and I was hired. During the interview, the judge kind of cleared the table of the interview questions and just said, Jan, do you like people? And I go, well, yeah, I like people. I've never had a problem working. No, do you like people? Yeah, I actually love people, Judge. So
that's how good. That's it. Oh, I love. That's my type of.
I got one question here.
do you love people?
Love people.
Because I think maybe the question he was wanting to ask is because the last person I had here didn't love people. And it was cousin. No, didn't say that. No.
But do you love people?
Do you love people? Wow, that's a great question.
Not a statistic, not a number, but a person.
Yeah, just the person. The person. I mean, to go out right now and talk to anybody that society would see as maybe a lesser or some people would be judgmental, it would be great to just sit down with a cup of coffee and talk to them, hear their life story, get to know them.
Yeah.
And they feel that love, acceptance.
Yeah. That's
because
Cole.
Because they get...
Isn't that Cole?
It is. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It does remind me when you say that. It reminds me of, what Cole and sitting down with someone when they walk in. Right to the atrium or something, they get a hug.
He's an embrace. Amazing man.
Yeah, so
he is. He's got some. Yeah, he's got some gifting. Mm-hmm. He's got some gifting. So what else didn't you expect?
I guess to love the people as much as I do.
Mm.
Okay. You know, I thought, I will be happy for their success.
Yeah.
This is a structured program. We will guide them through the program. But when you get to know them, you cannot help but love the people for not only who they are, but I guess just for what they've been through and where they come.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They've been through some pretty horrific stuff and they come to be just a shining light.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
You know?
So,
awesome.
That's very cool.
It is cool.
Very cool.
So, Jan, as we kind of wrap things up, what's your dream for the Lewis County area with drug court, with our continued struggle in this area in for Lewis County? And I mean, obviously there's a lot of hurting families. I mean, almost every day, there's probably not a day that doesn't go by that a family in the United States is not affected by drugs and addiction and homes broken because of what's your dream for us?
Man, that's a big one.
I know it is. It is.
For Lewis County, I wish every person that's addicted could get drug court. Okay. I wish amazing program.
Yeah. How do we do that?
Oh.
Because that's my dream. Did I tell you that?
Yeah. Yes, you did tell me that at one time.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about that more.
I want to see what that looks like. I mean, I can light a fire.
Of course, there's got to be people, you know, that don't qualify as far as violent crimes and sex crimes, and that, you know, they can't let everybody in the program. So if everybody, it just is an amazing program that works.
I think
it's proven to work.
It's built off a national model.
There seems to be some accountability that is different than
other programs.
And again, and that's kind of where, and I was having a conversation with my oldest and we were just discussing this about Tyson, and he said, well, Dad, I think he just chose. He just said, yeah, it's time. And maybe he did. And actually, I've tried to figure that out with Tyson, and that's a conversation we keep having over the last several weeks of me just prodding. Hey, what triggered this? Because he is the healthiest he has been in over a decade.
It's been awesome to see Tyson go from where he was to, and we watch and we see in the beginning, people check the boxes. Yeah, I can do this program. Check the box. Halfway through phase two, they start getting it. But I know Tyson, and he's pretty tight-lipped about, you know.
Yeah, he really likes to share his feelings.
Yeah. But he did tell me one time that he wouldn't be where he is today if it wasn't for drug court. I think we were talking about the Supreme Court ruling, and he was glad he didn't have to make that choice.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he told me the same. He told me that he did not. He was thankful that that wasn't a conversation he had to have. Yeah.
Yep.
He did tell me that.
So, so if everybody could get drug court that you know needed it, would be great. For drugs to disappear would be the best miracle in the world.
I know, because since the last time we talked, I went to a memorial of a 21-year-old, a former student of mine, died from fentanyl. Being in the drugs that she was taking. And so being there at the memorial was one of the hardest memorials.
I bet. A young person.
Yeah. Mm. Seeing those pictures and remembering her as this, you know, middle school, high school kid. Mm-hmm. And to know that, she was going through a difficult time. And as her mom said, she did not intend to die that day.
No.
No.
No, with fentanyl.
And that was it. Yeah. And so her mom is now on a warpath with fentanyl, and took her baby.
Yep.
And it's only child. So let me just you're talking about a refocus.
Mm-hmm. So we sat with the other teenagers, we're not teenagers anymore. They're in their early 20s.
Teenagers.
We sat around afterwards, and I was just hearing their stories, and they were telling, some of them had struggled with drug use and drug addiction, and many of them were in a better place and around some better group of people, family and friends and the like. So it was encouraging to have those conversations, but that was just the last time since we talked. So I don't want to go to those memorials.
No. And like you said, she didn't want to die.
Right.
She was playing around with drugs. And got a bad, you know, somebody. I don't know why people are putting fentanyl in everything because it kills so many people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And there's times I feel guilty for Tyson being healthy.
No.
I know, no. There's times I sit there and go, oh, there's families that are hurting, and he's so good right now. And I love that he's good. Yeah. It has changed. Devin knows this. It has changed everything
about your family.
Just
dynamic,
right now, all the dynamics right now is just
the entire family.
Yeah, the entire family. It's not just
embracing. You deserve that joy, Elmer.
I know, but I do. I feel guilty.
No,
guilty. I mean, I just feel. I don't know, like
more compassion, maybe.
Well, I just know
there are other families, like you said.
Yeah,
who are
I know exactly what they're going through. I mean, because my words are, an addict either. It stays clean, goes to jail, or they will die.
Yes.
And those are the three choices. And it's unfortunate. I there's not a fourth choice. There's not like, I'm going to make plan D and this is going to work for me. They don't work. They don't. Because, and I know that that's hard to say to someone, especially to a family member. But, and Pastor Mark now just says, oh, you have some addiction stuff. Oh, just go see Pastor Elmer. How great
if we could, yeah, those that are in need and want to, we could point to Drug Court as, mm-hmm, being this,
no,
as being this haven of hope and health, right, and, mm-hmm, recovery. Yeah, that would be the.
It would be awesome.
How many are in Drug Court currently right now?
Right now,
I know we lost 17. Right,
we lost 17
because of the Supreme Court here in Washington. Ruling,
and we've had a couple graduations. I think we're between 26 or 28.
Okay, so what's the max?
Max is, well, we were up in the 56, I believe.
Okay.
57.
So who finances this? Is this a state thing, county thing? Who's got the money? I mean, there's 7 or 8 adults in there who are leading this thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, the 0.1% sales tax dollars is some of that.
Okay.
And there's other. Yeah.
So do we need to make it 2/10?
I don't get into that. Pardon me?
Do we need to make it 2/10?
2/10, that would double your budget.
So we could double the people?
Right now the problem is possessing drugs isn't a crime.
Oh, good call.
And it's a felony diversion program. And the biggest motivator for people getting arrested is avoiding prison and avoiding a felony or another dozen felonies.
Right. Yeah.
And if they're only looking at a few days in county jail and a misdemeanor, why would they do a 2-year program that's going to interrupt their life? Hmm. So
I guess that's part of what I'm trying to figure out. And I know we probably need to put a bow on this, but I'm trying to figure out, how do we help those people who have not committed a crime yet?
Right.
But they need a program that is a Cadillac, because those are Officer Dickey's words.
Yep. Drug Cadillac program.
Cadillac. How do I get them into the Cadillac without, and how do we duplicate the Cadillac
before
somewhere else?
Before
they get a crime.
Yeah, because Drug Court is designed high risk, high needs.
Right.
So like lower risk or lower needs, first time offenders, intervention type program, kind of designed how Drug Court's designed, would be awesome.
Okay.
Got to have a motivator.
I call it
it's a velvet hammer.
The velvet hammer.
I always called it the hammer, and then Cole named it the velvet hammer.
The velvet hammer.
So, yeah. And for those of you guys who are listening, if you don't know who Cole is, listen to his podcast interview.
Yeah,
that was a couple months ago.
Yeah,
and it's amazing. He's a rock star. He is a rock star. Well, hey, Devin, we're about two things. What are they?
Yeah, we're about Kingdom Stories.
And we are about reproducible
discipleship.
This podcast is produced by Ian Goodell. And if you would like to contact us, visit formjourney.com, as well as Facebook and Instagram. We would love to hear your Kingdom Stories. And thanks for listening. God bless.